The end of daylight savings time and the beginning of winter are near. Are you ready? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Paul Platt here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training in the Buffalo, New York area. Bob, it's getting dark out early. How are you guys still training in Buffalo?
Well, getting dark early doesn't bother us as much as getting cold early. And as soon as the sun goes down, it starts getting rather cool here. And we haven't, well, yes, we have. We've had a couple of frosts already, but as soon as October comes, we can be prepared for anything. We've had ice storms in October. We've had 8-10 inches of snow in October. And it usually comes as a result of some unique combination of meteorological forces. But should that come while we're flying or in preparation for flying, you have to be prepared.
Well, in most places in the country, it would be disaster. In the case of Bob Miller Flight Training, it's teachable moment.
Yeah, every disaster is a teachable moment.
All right. Well, listen, usually we're having this annual conversation about what happens when it starts getting dark earlier in the year. But this year, as it turns out, it's not until this coming Sunday, the first Sunday in November, that we revert back to standard time across most of the U.S., except for those places that don't change. And boy, I don't know about you. It's already getting dark early enough here. It's going to be getting dark at 4:30 in the afternoon by this time next week where you are.
Yes, that's right. And when it gets dark and the sun goes down, it starts getting cold. And the real victim at first is the instrument pilot, or I shouldn't say victim, but the one most quickly affected is the instrument pilot, because that freezing level surreptitiously begins to drop lower and lower and lower. Right now, it's up to around 12,000 feet, typically. But that freezing level can suddenly drop down to 6,000 feet or 5,000 feet, and we can be, motoring along in the clouds, and not paying attention to the outside temperature, and then all of a sudden find ourselves in a potentially dangerous icing situation.
Let's talk about the non-instrument pilot. Let's talk about somebody who's flying VFR. The days of getting off work and going out for a joyride are pretty much over for the year for most people.
Yeah, they are. And so the real problem hasn't been the evening flying so much as the individual gets up for that first early morning flight of the fall season. They look at that frost on the wings, and certainly any proficient pilot, well-trained pilot, knows that that's a definite no-go condition. But there are pilots who get through that have gaps in their understanding that perhaps weren't trained or trained in the South, and never had a full or complete understanding of the extremely hazardous situation that's created by just a fine layer of frost on the wings. That could turn into a very bad event, of course.
Bob, let's talk about a couple of the other things that happen when it starts getting dark out early. We start getting into cold temperatures, and it affects not only icing, but it affects just the basic physiology of airplanes, if you want to call it that. Pre-flights differ, starting procedures differ. What do people who maybe haven't flown in a couple of months find when they come out to Buffalo Lancaster Airport in the last week of October?
Well, you're right. Pulling a cold airplane out of the hangar, we have issues of starting the engine, care and maintenance of the engine, starting a cold engine, being sure that the oil has been changed to a lighter grade of oil when it starts getting cold like this. Other simple things that this may seem obvious, but slipping and falling on the ramp when there's a patch of slippery black ice or something like that. The other thing to remember, too, is night flying in many respects is a little bit like IFR flying, particularly if you're around Great Lakes that we are at or near large bodies of water. On a moonless night with a high cloud overcast, and you're taking off into a rural area where there are very few ground lights, those VFR conditions, while they are still technically VFR, cannot be navigated by reference to outside, visual cues. So that's another major concern about individuals that are all of a sudden finding themselves flying VFR at night. It can be an IFR kind of a condition out there.
All right. When we come back from the break, Bob, let's talk about some of the opportunities presented by winter. I'm talking with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And we're talking about the coming winter season. We're about to turn the clocks back to standard time in many parts of the U.S. And first of all, before we go any further, Bob, I think we need to apologize to all the people in the Southern Hemisphere. Sometimes we forget that the Internet is international and goes everywhere. And if this makes no sense to you and you're in Australia, record it, save it on your hard drive and play it back exactly 6 months from now. It'll make perfect sense.
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about some of the opportunities presented by winter. And I know this might be a really kind of a stretch for a glass half full analysis, but especially in the daytime in the winter, you at Bob Miller Flight Training make good use of this time of year.
Well, sure. I mean, airplanes have better performance. They fly faster. They fly, the air is smoother. We have, tend to have better radio reception. But we get out. I mean, we fly, throughout the year, throughout the winter in the coldest months. Our greatest risk, I guess, is, trying to avoid, lake effect snow showers, which again can turn a VFR day into an IFR condition very, very suddenly and very, very quickly. But, we like flying in the wintertime, other than the, you know, the discomfort of getting in and out of a cold airplane. But once it's up there and the heater's, you know, cruising along, it tends to be a great time of the year to fly.
Well, and you have actual clouds and actual ice.
Well, we have actual clouds all year round. But, yeah, I think maybe this is where you're leading. Do we do training in cold clouds in the wintertime? You bet. And I say that unabashedly because you know, there can be cold clouds that are below freezing, that are, you know, a thin layer at 4,500 feet. We'll go up in those clouds under IFR, on an IFR training mission, and, we'll do just fine. And if we get ice, we come right out of those clouds, into our instantly available back door. You know, of course, we pay attention to, SIGMETs or AIRMETs for icing and things like that. If those are out and we know we have, for sure icing conditions, of course we won't, you know, defy the odds and go into that kind of stuff. But, you know, wintertime flying requires specific training. The cockpit, contrary to popular belief, I think is the best classroom. There's not much we can do in a simulator to simulate, wintertime conditions other than perhaps try to simulate an ice laden airplane by, you know, creating some drag on it. There isn't really too much other than become a junior meteorologist, I think, is one of the things that we try to encourage people to do. Study the physics of icing and understand, what conditions, what meteorological conditions produce icing. And it's far more than just temperature. You know, it's water droplet size. It's, disturbances in the atmosphere. It's the presence or absence of passing fronts. There are lots of factors. The position of our airplane reference a low pressure area. All of these things influence the likelihood or of getting ice or not getting ice. So I think maybe to answer your question, spend your wintertime months studying meteorology, particularly as it applies to aviation.
A lot of us during the course of the spring, summer, and fall just never find time to take that that online ASF safety course, or you know, to study toward the next rating we want to get, or just to do any of those things, you know, even just refresh on your local sectional chart. And those are all things that can be done indoors in the comfort of your home.
Certainly right. And in the wintertime, when the weather is bad, we never cancel flight instruction. I mean, if we can't fly, we'll do ground instruction. and not just simply read back the textbook, but go into some of these more esoteric aspects of the meteorology of icing. And we're studying things right now. We had a unique, one of my students happens to be the chief meteorologist here at the National Weather Service here in Buffalo. And we've had these extreme rainstorms. And I was talking with him, and he says they're called lake effect rains. Now, I've grown up in Buffalo, and, you know, lake effect storms or lake effect snow is something that's a household word, but I've never heard the term lake effect rain. And it indeed is caused by the lakes. And so, and he's also introduced us to something called thunder snow. Thunder snow is this virtually the same kind of activity as a thunderstorm in the summertime, but this produces, you know, torrents of snow as a result of a thunderstorm that's developing in the cold atmosphere. So, you know, you never really run out of things to study, if you will, in the wintertime. When we're not out flying, this is a good time to get into that kind of stuff.
Well, Bob, stay warm. You've got a ways to go before it gets warm outside again. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon.
You can find the latest edition of Bob's newsletter at overtheairwaves.com. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.